I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Welcome to The Memo. It is Thursday, November 17th, a week till Thanksgiving. I'm Derek Russell, joined today with the dulcet tones of Leslie Chris.
Hello. Dulcet tones. Thank you, Derek.
Sing for us.
I could sing my Thanksgiving song.
You have a Thanksgiving song?
Oh, my gosh, from kindergarten.
Please do. We don't have a Thanksgiving show next week.
So. Seriously?
Yes, right now.
A turkey sat on the backyard fence, singing this sad, sad song. Thanksgiving Day is coming, gobble, 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 gobble. I would like to run away. Gobble, 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 gobble. I don't like Thanksgiving Day. I can't believe I just did that.
Live on The Memo.
Beautiful. Can you come in and sing for us?
That's
like
from kindergarten.
Day?
Yeah.
I'm 59 now,
and I learned that in kindergarten. So at least we know I don't have dementia.
Remember a lot of things you learned in kindergarten. You still tie your shoes.
That's true.
You're still wearing tieable shoes.
I am.
Sometimes I wish I could just do Velcro.
I did that. When I was teaching school, they had a teacher turkey day, and they were it was for the student council, and they sold paper feathers, and whatever teacher got the most feathers, they put together this huge, huge coat made out of all these feathers that you had to wear the day before Thanksgiving break. And, you know, a lot of kids were buying them for teachers they didn't like, but my kids, because you got a free ticket, a free turkey also if you won. And I wanted that free turkey, by gosh. I wanted to take it home for Thanksgiving. And so my kids bought feathers for me, and I won. And I told them if I won, I would sing that song while I was feathered in that big old paper turkey thing. And I stood in front of a huge class of teenagers and donning that heavy coat of feathers and sang that song.
Now, to pull the curtain back a little bit before we went live this morning, you said you've never won anything. So,
well, I take that back. Okay. Then I did win the teacher turkey, and yeah, there's a picture of me in the annual that year to prove it, and I got to take home a large turkey.
Well, good. Chris wants to say something.
And that was the last time. So now you're trying to break that streak.
You're due for one.
But
you're
what I meant was, in 17 years at the Journal, I've never won anything here. But I haven't won in my life. I've won the turkey teacher, and that was about it.
That sounds like a high praise, though.
I guess.
We're glad you're here and Brad's not today.
Well, thanks. I'm happy to be here, and I'm not going to say I'm happy Brad's not, because, you know,
that's fine.
Not very nice.
That's fine. I don't mind not being very nice. That's okay. He won't listen. That's how bad he is.
I listen
to the show. I listen. He doesn't.
I think it's a wonderful thing. I listen a lot.
Good. We appreciate listeners like you.
I hope it kicks up the numbers.
It does. Every time I go, I see one and I go, that's Leslie right there. That twinkling one right there is how I know it's you. On today's show, we've got Caleb Bedillion joining us, Michaela Morris, and Scott Morris, the Morris Eye.
Or the Morris twins.
The Morris twins. But they won't be on together.
No.
We could bring them on together one day. See what happens. No?
No.
Okay. All right.
But they do behave when they're together.
All right. But it's when you separate them that you have issues.
Correct.
All right, then. Well, we'll be bringing them on separate today, so we'll see what happens. And then we've got your look at what's going on this weekend in entertainment in the scene section. I want to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by South, a locally owned restaurant here in Tupelo, offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. You can visit South on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo. First up today is Caleb Bedillion, who had a story in yesterday's paper about the West Jackson project, which is moving forward little by little. Target actually coming in on West Jackson?
I missed the accent, Derek.
I'm sorry. Did I have an accent? Oh, when I was introducing you earlier?
Yes, Derek.
Sorry. I do declare. I always have depended on the kindness of strangers.
Oh, Lord.
But seriously, Target moving into West Jackson?
Absolutely.
Yes, we've been waiting on that. No, but...
there won't be a parking lot. But,
no, it's just the store. Okay. You just park along the side of the road. You'll be fine. What are the plans now that the change is happening on this road? I mean, it's been part of the major thoroughfare program. We wanted to make this a good area for both residential and commercial, but it's a big streetway. They've been clearing out for how long now? How long have we been... tearing down old houses in West Jackson?
2012, yeah.
What's next?
All right, so since 2012, city leaders have been working on the redevelopment of West Jackson. And now the way this has been pitched has been primarily about getting younger families into the area and kind of seeing the area transform from one that's dominated by rental homes, particularly dilapidated, blighted mm-hmm. rental homes into owner-occupied neighborhoods. So we've got one neighborhood that's being, I guess it's in the early phases of construction.
There's an access road to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there's an access road. This is near the West Jackson Joiner intersection. So at public expense, there has been a cul-de-sac installed there, water and sewer lines going up to where individual lots should be. And then the plan is that those lots will be sold to private developers who will build homes there and then sell them. There are, I believe, 13 lots on that one neighborhood on the south side of West Jackson. And I think all but one are spoken for by builders. So now the city has issued a contract or approved a contract for the same thing to be done on the north side. So if you, and this is at the Joiner West Jackson intersection. Mm-hmm. So if you go by there,
this
you'll
is,
notice.
This is the Ingram Drive.
Ingram Drive is the one on the south side that follows the railroad tracks.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
So the new one is going to be directly at the corner of Joiner and West Jackson. If you drive by there, I mean, there's some trees there. It's just kind of an empty lot right now.
Okay, I knew, yeah. Okay.
And then there's going to be a turn lane installed there, too.
The heck you say?
Yeah, so you'll build a, you know, turn to go into Joiner without
it.
The traffic, you know, no. Stopping all the traffic behind
you. And
they're
going to raise the train track, too, before you go under it? Is that next?
That one's still, you know, I wouldn't be expecting that one anytime soon.
Not happening.
But, yeah, so it'll be 14 lots at that Joiner, West Jackson corner. So
they've cleared off a lot for that. That's the Cicada Cove.
Yeah, area. That's Cicada Cove.
So 13 lots on one side, 14 lots on the other, but there's a third proposed?
Yeah, that's down where Shirley comes up from the south and ends at West Jackson, and then on the other side, so on the north side of West Jackson, above where Shirley ends, it'll be the third one. That was probably a ways off.
Obviously, one is being very heavily worked on right now. We've already seen the area cleared off for Cicada Cove. So when will we see the third start taking shape?
No plans right now. I would expect it to be a while.
Yeah. All right, then. Lots of things happening on West Jackson Street. You can go eat at Forklift and then go look at all the construction.
But you cannot shop at Target on West Jackson, nor will you ever be able to.
Some write it down. We're going to prove him wrong. It's going to happen somewhere on West Jackson. They're going to move in at the airport, like the police station. Caleb, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, sure thing.
You can wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's news break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows are posted each Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. And if you can't just get enough of Brad Locke, you can also tune into the Prep Rally podcast. It's a high school sports podcast with Brad and Gene Phelps. New episodes come out on Wednesdays. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And also Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast with Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry. That is on Thursdays, and you can listen for free in iTunes, podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Morning, Michaela Morris.
Good morning, Leslie Chris.
Michaela Morris is here this morning to talk about the anniversary of something really cool, in my opinion, the smoking ban.
I know, it's hard to believe it has been 10 years.
since you have these indoor smoking ordinances come into being in North Mississippi, and you know they've been around nationally. You see the leading edge of them back in the mid '90s, but they really began to get traction when New York City decided it was going non-smoking inside. And for most people, I think this is invisible now. They only notice it if they happen to travel somewhere and they end up in one of the few, increasingly few places that allow smoking.
And if you do that, it's extremely noticeable.
It is. It kind of is like, oh, we still do this?
Yeah, really.
But it really was a public health push across communities to make this happen. When Starkville jumped out on it, there were only two other Mississippi towns that had enacted bans. Both of them were much smaller than Starkville. And that really kicked off a push across North Mississippi in Tupelo, Mantachie, and Oxford. And then you've seen in there are now a total of 18 non-smoking communities in Northeast Mississippi. Saltillo is among those who approved a ban last year. And by and large, they're now regarded as a quality of life thing. One of the mayors, Dan Camp of Starkville, said, you know, if you're a, or no, actually it was Ed Neely who said, if you're a young person, you might think it's always been this way.
Yeah. And it's a good way to be.
Indeed.
How was it accepted at first, Michaela? I know that we heard, at least we heard a lot of people, a lot of flack, people who were not happy about it.
There was definitely some pushback. And in Tupelo, there was actually a lawsuit. So, you know, part of it is the right to operate your business as you wish. And part of it, the issues where they actually gained traction were in some of the enforcement clauses. What did they step over the line of the constitutional rights against unreasonable search and seizure? And the federal judge, in this Judge Mills, ordered some tweaks to the Tupelo law to bring it in line with those constitutional standards. And there, I think it's the restaurant business is so volatile that it is hard to pin down. But, I mean, it was an adjustment period, especially for restaurants with bars. Feather Burns from Woody's talked about that they had a 27% drop-off that first month in their bar business, you know, that as time went on, it lessened as people became accustomed that this was the normal way to be, as restaurants added outdoor spaces to accommodate their smoking customers, you know, but those were expenses, and restaurants and bars operate on pretty tight margins. And so it could have been part of something that pushed small businesses past where they could operate. When you look more globally at the tourism tax revenue, you see that by and large in the 12 months after these ordinances came in, that cities improved or beat the non-ordinance cities in revenue. So kind of globally, you saw people changing their patterns and people going out more when they didn't have to deal with the smoke. You know, you saw that in about two-thirds of the cities they've looked at. Now, of course, not every city that has put an ordinance in place collects that tax, which is levied on restaurants and hotel bills. But it's a good way to kind of get a apples-to-apples comparison that takes some of the volatility of an individual business out of the picture and looks at the activity in the sector.
I know when my sister and I had our restaurant in Alcorn County in Corinth, we chose to make it non-smoking because it was small and there was no place to have smoking and non. And, you know, we worried that it would keep us from having customers. But we also had people who wrote us and said, this is the only place in town where we can bring our whole family because our kids have allergy issues. So
it is a quality of life. And I think what the study of the revenue has shown is that you will see more activity in that by and large. And there is volatility. It wasn't this way everywhere, but in the majority of cities that have passed this, they have seen more activity in that sector as people feel more comfortable taking their families out. They feel better about staying longer. And then restaurants also don't have the kind of maintenance issues that they're having to paint as frequently and clean to get the smoke out of the restaurant. On the converse side, Feather talked about now they have to fight the war on picking up butts outside. So you solve one problem, you end up with another.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, because people maybe weren't quite as bad about dumping their butts on the floor when they smoked inside as people feel the right to do outside. You know, a lot of people really appreciate the smoke-free environment. And I know people, and they've also seen a decrease in heart attacks. When they looked at Hattiesburg and Starkville, they saw a decrease in heart attacks after they instituted the smoking ordinances because people had less exposure. They were less likely. I mean, cigarette smoke triggers a process that can cause clots. So,
well, in your story, it says in 10 years, we've got 130 Mississippi towns included in the smoking ordinances. So maybe on the 20th anniversary, we'll have a lot more.
The real push in Mississippi is on the coast. The casinos have been resistant to going smoke-free. It'll be interesting to see how it works out in New Orleans that has recently gone smoke-free, and that includes the Harrah's Casino.
Wow.
So I know that is an area they will watch very closely. Nationally, smoking among adults is down to about 10-11% of the population. The youth smoking rates are down dramatically given the attention that has been placed on tobacco and education in schools. So, you know, we are probably coming closer to a generation that really does not expect to smoke in indoor public places. And there's a lot of places now you can't smoke in city parks. You can't smoke at youth sporting events. It's tough on our smoking friends. I mean, it's a tough habit. But at the same time, we've got to be sensitive that this is a larger health issue for the whole community and that smoking affects non-smokers.
Absolutely. Thanks, Michaela.
Happy to chat.
You can also watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson, joined by Brad Locke. I don't know if that says that on here or not. It doesn't say that on here. How do we leave out Brad Locke is on this show as well? The Brad Locke Show.
He's got enough plugs.
All right, and his hair.
Yeah.
Ah! Said the bald man. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby continues to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. You can catch that Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. or catch the replay later in the day. Again, djournal.com. Timed out now for today's news memo. For more on these stories, visit djournal.com or check out your daily journal. Early efforts have begun to remove toxic materials from a deteriorating motel building on North Gloucester Street. The former Ramada Inn was declared a public health hazard by the Tupelo City Council earlier this year. The council wants to see the building demolished. Before that can happen, however, asbestos must be removed from the structure so the toxic material is not released into the environment during the demolition. Crews have begun removing furniture and other items from the motel building this week. Tupelo Development Services Director Shane Hooper said this is a prerequisite to asbestos abatement. The city has selected Gulf States Contracting of Mobile, Alabama to conduct the abatement work. The company was awarded a contract with about $209,000. The city will likely pay for the asbestos abatement and eventual demolition. If the property is ever sold, it would recoup that money.
Mississippi's community colleges are asking state lawmakers for more funding next year. The Mississippi Association of Community and Junior Colleges is seeking a 34.1% funding increase in next year's budget that begins on July 1st. Officials from Northeast Mississippi Community College and Itawamba Community College outlined their needs to area legislators during a joint luncheon on Wednesday afternoon. The 2017 legislative session starts in January. The community college's top priorities are increased funds for operational costs, raising faculty salaries in order to retain and recruit high-quality educators, and more funding for career and technical programs. Northeast Division Head of Health Sciences Patty Cooper said recruitment and retention of educators has become increasingly difficult because community colleges are not able to offer candidates competitive, fair salaries. In all, MACJC would like to see an increase of $88.8 million in appropriations. That would bring the system's total funding from the state to around $348 million.
Some Tupelo High School seniors have helped with the new Tupelo Police Department's interior decorating. Four students adopted TPD as their senior project, and on Wednesday, they handed over four custom-framed photographs to be hung on some of the many blank walls in the new facility, which is slated to open next month. Jacob Overton, Georgia Kate Crawford, Avery Batson, and Jack Haynes chose TPD as their senior project, partly because Overton's mother knows Chief Bart Aguirre. Aguirre met with the students and suggested law enforcement-themed pictures for the new building. The group also went around and collected more than $800 in donations and gift cards from area businesses and donated those to the department as well.
Tupelo Mayor Jason Shelton plans to seek re-election next year, and he begins that effort tonight when he hosts a fundraiser. The event will be held from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the bus stop, a former Greyhound facility on North Commerce Street that's been converted to a private event space. Shelton described tonight's event as informal and said an official campaign kickoff event won't happen until after the qualifying period for municipal election candidates begins in January. Primary races aren't until May 2nd, but Shelton says it's necessary to start fundraising now. The general election is June 6th. Shelton was first elected mayor in 2013, becoming the city's first Democratic mayor in 28 years by defeating former city councilman Fred Pitts. No one has yet publicly announced a campaign to challenge Shelton. Candidates can qualify to run from January 2nd until March 3rd. Today's show is sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. There are a lot of things going on at South, including a new chef. Nick Rice has been on board since last April and introduced a new lunch and dinner menu and added weekend brunch on Saturdays and Sundays. South is also home to Tupelo's only Bellini Mimosa Bar on Saturdays. I love South.
You do?
I do. I love Hamp, too.
I like Hamp.
Yeah.
Good food, good fun.
Good people.
Good people.
I enjoy South.
Me too.
On North Gloucester. Scott Morris joining us on this Thursday to talk about the movie he saw this week. And one of the movies I am most into. I really wanted to see this movie.
Well, you still can.
For a while. I know.
It's there.
I'm excited to. Arrival.
It'll cost you like $9.95.
With Amy Adams.
Yeah. And Jeremy Renner, who's Space Invaders come. But they're not really. You don't know what they're going to do. These 12 pods come from outer space, one assumes. And land in different parts of the world. And the difficult thing is trying to figure out how to communicate with them because it turns out Amy Adams, her character, is a world-renowned linguist, so she understands the basic traps of language. And you think about it, about how to, when you don't share, there's a theory that comes up in the movie that the language you use affects how your brain works. So someone who speaks English would think differently than someone who speaks Russian.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of applies here about someone speaking an alien language and compared to the way you would speak English or Chinese or Russian because the pods are all over the world. And each day at set times, people can go up and try to communicate with these beings. And if it was just that, who knows what kind of movie it would be. But it's also much deeper than that. In fact, it gets, in ways I don't want to spoil, it gets it to the heart of what it means to be a parent and what hard it means to love a child come what may. When after I saw this movie with my son, and as we were driving home, we had a conversation, a very deep conversation that we would not have had otherwise. So I give that conversation an A+.
There you go.
I give this movie here an A-. It was slow at times, and maybe that was me. It could be that I've been trained to watch faster paced movies, and so I had a difficult time adapting to the pace.
Well, we're taught with alien movies to expect something a little, I guess, more like Independence Day than a drama.
Exactly, and that's kind of what it is. This is kind of like this is a drama, and a sci-fi drama at that, and a mystery, because there are a lot of questions going on about what does that mean, what does this mean, what does that mean. So you kind of have to be, you know, engaged with it. I felt a couple of scenes when we were supposed to be listening for aliens speaking for the first time, or not for the aliens speaking, instead, we're hearing a bunch of music, the soundtrack playing. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that was distracting, a decision made. So some things like that I can deduct points for. But I was entertained and had a lot to think about. I give it an A-.
What kept you from giving it an A+? Just the slowness at times?
I think so. And the fact that there's just several times through watching the film that I was not engaged in the film. Mm-hmm. I would pop out every now and then, like, and then all of a sudden be in my theater seat. And when that happens, I blame the movie and not myself.
I read two reviews last week that did not spoil it, but said that given the state of our nation right now and people divided and such animosity, that it came out at a very poignant time.
It's a geopolitical aspects to it, no doubt, and also some personal family aspects to it. So it has it really does weave a lot of issues together that affect life on Earth. I would definitely go with that, yeah.
Where's it playing?
Playing at the Cinemark in Tupelo.
All right. Scott, thanks for joining us today.
I was happy to do it, even though I've been told repeatedly that Leslie Chris has already made this podcast great today, and I didn't have to come here and do it. I could have just stayed at my desk and not been part of this and not let Chris Kiefer had the chance to interrupt me in mid-thought.
But you come in every week. I'm just here on occasion, so it's okay. You can make it great on those days.
When you're not here.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, I'm not comforted at all by that.
So, I was going to ask if the movie made your head hurt.
It did not. Kelly Carlson said that it made her head hurt following everything. And you do. You have to set yourself on the movie's time frame. And so, yeah. It did not make my head hurt, but there was a lot of thinking involved. And I kind of like that. Maybe because I'm stupid.
I'm going to go see it. I don't usually like alien movies.
I like Amy Adams.
She's great in this.
She's great in everything.
Well, yeah, but and so she's a perfect person to kind of guide you around in this world as the stress goes and all that, because we're just so used to liking her, I think. And yeah. And so she's a wonderful little tour guide through all of this. And
who else is in this? Forest Whitaker?
Forest Whitaker.
Okay, I was going to say, did I dream that? But
there is a moment. I didn't put this in the review. There is a moment where, like, Amy Adams is the character saying, like Jeremy Renner saying that he's so focused on something that he doesn't, such a geek that he doesn't have a relationship. And she says something about her not having a relationship, but not being able to maintain one. And it's like, yeah. Like, nobody wants to spend time with Amy Adams.
Yeah. Or Jeremy Ritter, for that matter.
Well, I don't know. I can't speak to Jeremy
Ritter. Well, just being impartial. But, you know, whatever. Scott, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you.
Derek Russell, it's Thursday.
Leslie Chris, yes, it is.
And that means,
according to your Fitbit, it's further into the future Thursday than it is now.
Let's not talk about my Fitbit. Okay. Let's talk about what's going on in Tupelo this weekend.
But I'd rather talk about your Fitbit.
I was very impressed by that multiple pianist story on the front page of Scene this morning.
It paled in comparison to the wonderful art done by one Lauren Wood.
It is a good piece of art, but it's a nice story, and it's such a good concept what they're doing over
there.
It
is a good concept. The First United Methodist having a Sunday afternoon piano extravaganza at 3 p.m.? Is that right?
It is at 4 p.m.
At, like we said, at FUM downtown. 18 pianists and 8 pianos in the sanctuary there. Not all of them playing at the same time, but multiples shifted around and people playing different parts. And, yeah, we're going to be playing some hymns, some classical music, some standards, like the Entertainers, a little Scott Joplin for you, a little ragtime, and also closing out with a little Christmas music as they look ahead to the holidays, which just seems...
I know.
Foreign to me right now.
It's not even Thanksgiving.
Isn't it supposed to be 82 degrees today? Yeah.
Yes, but Saturday it's going to be cold, according to my father. Well,
it might be warmer here than it is in Los Angeles when I get there tomorrow.
Probably.
That's a scary thought, but anyway.
And it's not just adults. There are 2 kids who are
playing.
Three kids.
3 kids performing. One of them is not pictured.
I see.
There's 2 girls and a boy. It's a big multi-generational thing. They wanted to span that. The youngest is 9 years old, and the oldest is, I was not allowed to say. So that's a good group to go, and you can't beat that on a Sunday afternoon for free. That's good entertainment. They've done this 3 times now at FOM. They did it once in 2010, and then again in 2014, and now in 2016 they decided to do another one. So that's obviously on your front page today. You can check that out. Tomorrow night at TCT at the Lyric Theater, they're going to be doing Tune Into Tupelo. It is a best of the best showcase of art, film, music, video, instrument playing.
Have they ever done that before?
I don't believe that they have.
It seemed pretty new to me.
Tune Into Tupelo. VIP tickets get you in for $25. And then there's also standard tickets for $15 for adults and $10 for students. That's Friday at 7:30 p.m. at the Lyric. 844-1935 for tickets. I hate I'm going to miss Sunday night's concert. Willie Nelson performing at the Bancorp South Arena. He has canceled a lot of performances in the last week due to an illness, so I'm hoping that does not happen. We won't put that out into the universe.
Do we know if they've sold lots of tickets?
They've sold lots of tickets.
I would have thought they would.
That's Sunday evening, so that is going to be a good time for all. Also this weekend is the annual Hope for the Holidays event, which is North Mississippi Dance Center's fundraiser for St. Jude. That brings in their classes of girls to dance. Their theme this year is A Christmas Carol for their performance. So they try to raise money for St. Jude every year to try to do something different that's not a bake sale or a run or something that you normally see. This is a free event, but donations are asked of attendance to try and raise those funds to get to St. Jude in Memphis and the great work that they do there, so no family has to pay a bill. They honor families. In fact, the MC this year is a former patient of St. Jude that will be emceeing the event. So Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. at Tupelo High School Performing Arts Center for that event.
Anything else going on this weekend?
There's always something. Check out the scene section today. Those are the highlights. Yeah, movies. Go see Arrival. You can log on Facebook and find out whether or not you're dead.
Yeah.
What?
That's right.
Interesting column today.
Thank you. I was pronounced dead for about an hour last week.
When I read the first sentence, it scared me for a moment because I just...
Well, you get used to reading obituaries, I guess, and then you see that one. Yeah, yeah. So Facebook told everybody I died on Friday. It was kind of terrifying.
So it just showed up. Is that...
It's just a banner at the top of the page that had covered up my, where your cover photo is, the long photo. It was a banner across it that said...
You figure out that it was a prank?
No, it wasn't a prank. It was just a glitch. They came back and apologized later. In fact, Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook's creator, whatever he is, CEO, had it on his page as well. But it just hit a few hundred people, and I just happened to be one of them. The message said, "We hope people who love Derek," there's not many of those, "will find comfort in the things others share to remember and celebrate his life."
That's hard.
Most people were just claiming my items, collectibles that they wanted for themselves. I had at least 3. One wanted all the Superman stuff. One wanted all the Star Wars stuff. So
Facebook is such an odd adventure, isn't it?
It is. It's funny how much it has impacted our lives when you think about the fact that 10 years ago it was only available in universities and I guess probably 12 years ago. I got my account in 04, and I remember it was when you had to have a .edu account. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't post pictures. You couldn't check in anywhere. I don't even think you could post on somebody else's wall back then. I think you could just go and look at somebody's page.
It's changed a lot.
Yes.
There was no news feed either.
No, there was nothing like that. It was either your page or you went to somebody else's. Yeah. There was no collective feed of post updates. And also back then, everybody always, I can remember your posts were Chris Kiefer, and then you would say, is going to the mall
or something.
It was like so, to go back and read some of those is so frustrating now because nobody talks like that. So.
Well, thanks, Derek. We'll enjoy things going on in Tupelo while you and your family have fun in La La Land.
I'm gonna take my mother to Los Angeles. Hey, Mom. And we'll only because I won't be here next week, we'll only have one episode, and that's the only reason we're not having any more episodes next week.
Not because you won't be here.
Yes, not because there's a holiday or anything like that. Just because, how could it go on without me?
We'll go to Griffith Park Observatory for me.
I'm going to.
I used to hang out there a lot when I lived there.
I'll send you a picture.
Please do.
I plan to, if all goes according to plan, 24 hours from now, that's where I'll be. Right now, that's
where I plan to head first. Have a lovely time.
So, but we, in all seriousness, we will only have one podcast next week on Monday due to the holiday. And so be looking for that in your feed on Monday. Until then, you can find us online at memo.djournal.com. That's where new episodes get posted, and those pushed to iTunes, Satchel, Stitcher FM, and a myriad of other podcast catchers. You can find out when new episodes are available by following us on Twitter at djournalmemo, and all the stories we discussed today you can find online at djournal.com in your daily journal, and links are available for those on Twitter at D Journal Now. Leslie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for asking.
It feels so much more like NPR when it's you and me.
Oh.
And less like the Brad Locke Show.
That's such a lovely compliment.
I like NPR.
The only thing that would make it more like NPR is if we had, you know, the sounds of jungle behind us and stuff when we talk to people. Or, you know, we could...
Running water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Waterfall. All right, we will see you guys on Monday. Thanks, everybody.